holiday shopping, sales, shops, gifts, and credit cards. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a credit card analyst and specialist about when and if you should sign up for a retail store card at the checkout. And that conversation begins now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening as always. Now, please take this the right way. Do you really need that new credit card at the checkout register or as you're purchasing your online cart? Those retail cards, the ones you're pitched when you're paying for your stuff, can get pricey, and some have gotchas, too. Credit card analysis and advice from an expert in the field starts now.
It's Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com.
Ted, friend of the show, always good to hear your voice. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your newest. Let's dive right in because shopping season, holiday shopping season, people probably going to be whipping out those credit cards, and this is your swing zone. So what are we looking at when it comes to average retail credit card APR, what people can expect going into the holiday buying season?
Retail credit cards have really high APRs. This is a big thing to be aware of. This holiday season, I'm sure that we're all going to get offered one of these cards at the checkout. Maybe they'll offer us 10% off our first purchase. It's not worth it if you carry a balance because the average retail card charges about 26%, and that's about 5 percentage points higher than a general credit card.
So we're talking about if we go to a standalone store and just say it's an electronic store or something, and I'm going to buy something for my kid. And then at the checkout, they always offer that. Why don't we take those deals? I mean, I know you said if you carry it over, what's the benefit to taking one of those deals, or are there any?
There's usually not a benefit because the rates are higher and the rewards are worse. There are a few cases, though, when it might make sense. One is that if you can get a solid percentage off a big purchase, like maybe you're buying some expensive electronics or doing some home renovations, in that case, if you can get 5 or 10% off, that might make sense. These cards also make sense if you're really loyal to a specific store. There are some programs like Amazon, for instance, gives 5% off at Amazon.com and at Whole Foods. Other stores like Target, Gap, Ann Taylor, they'll give you 5% off everything you buy. So if you shop there all the time, you might do better with their card than a general purpose card, but that's often not the case.
Now, we've been talking about your new data from the new report from creditcards.com. I want to pull out a little bit and go macro. Given your position as an analyst in the credit card space, how can you help shoppers avoid the heavy hangover of running up too much credit card? I mean, is there a way that you can have a plan of attack when it comes to the holiday shopping season?
If you think you might carry a balance, then you should really look into a 0% credit card offer. We see them as long as 20 months now on general purpose cards. So we're not talking about store cards anymore, but
right.
A card like the U.S. Bank Platinum Visa, they'll give you 20 months with no interest. So you can really spread out those big payments. And a really important distinction is that a card like that would charge you forward-looking interest after the 20 months expire on anything that's left.
Creditcards.com.
But it's way better than retail
cards. Half of Americans say they have applied for a retail credit card,
meaning that if you have anything left at the end of their promotional period, they'll actually go back and charge you retroactive interest from day one on the full amount.
Versus
69% of retail cards.
Good point. Very good point.
To entice these,
what are Americans doing when it comes to credit these days? Are we running up our cards or paying them down? On that
Americans
pile of stuff in front of you at the register.
Higher credit
64
cards
draw in
seen
patrons with a structured rewards program, such as points, cash back, or other types of ongoing incentives,
back,
and 10 cards
card
issue cardholders
for
lucrative rewards for loyal
so really
spending.
Important to pay
this
those bills
is a buyer beware situation. Caveat emptor.
The average
There's
is
no
about
credit
17%,
beware phrasing in Latin,
and that's on the low end.
Be.
That's if you have good credit and we're averaging the low end of any range.
Finally this week, a little financial stuff ahead of the Federal
really
Reserve's
no
meeting in December.
To get
there is a 74% likelihood
that, can
that the
get
Fed
you
is
sign up
going to raise interest rates
about $750 for the rate
hike
on the Capital
year.
One Venture
the Fed
or
is
the Chase
seeking
Sapphire Reserve.
Normalization.
There's a huge divide
normal
now
has
between
yet to be defined.
Those who can pay their bill in full and
senior analyst
can.
Mark
if you're among
to help
the
us get
roughly
some clarity
one-third who are paying
issue.
Your bills in full
and I mentioned Jay Powell here at the beginning without context. He is the chairman of the Fed. What can we expect from the Fed's meeting, given that Jay Powell just said that every meeting moving forward is active?
You know, the problem with that statement is that it's completely true, and that the misperception on the part of many investors and observers of the Fed is that that some meetings are not essentially ripe for the potential of a rate increase. Janet Yellen made this point. We've seen it historically. The Fed can surprise us if that is what is necessary. But why Jerome Powell is saying this is just to remind people that, you know, there really is a collaborative process that's involved with the Federal Open Market Committee. It's not sort of an authoritarian process. And that means that the central bankers go into these meetings with at least some degree of an open mind to say, you know, what do we need to do to keep interest rates where they need to be, whether that's to raise them, keep them steady, or to lower them. And that means that there's always the possibility of a rate increase. Now, having said that, this Fed, perhaps more so than any other, is really making it a priority to communicate its intentions effectively and clearly. And that means for really each and every American or stakeholder in the process. And so the Fed is trying to transmit its intentions to say, you know, we weren't going to raise interest rates in November, and we didn't. But, you know, there's every likelihood that a rate increase could be coming down the pike in December, and that is the expectation, barring the unexpected. And so I think for all of us, we need to keep an open mind with respect to how things can unfold in the future, because the economy is dynamic, so are world events.
Mark, do you think we can anecdotally extrapolate from this active Fed when it comes to transmitting what we just talked about to a late-stage bull market? I don't know if this is still even a bull market in some ways. To me, it's like a rolling bear market, but it seems that they're being a little more opening of the kimono, I guess, for the market, so the markets can brace for something. I could be wrong. I'm just trying to draw a line here.
Well, the Fed is not going to make its judgments about monetary policy based on the performance of the stock market, as long as the market's performance is not affecting the economy in a dramatic way.
Having rates at quote-unquote normal levels gives them some dry powder to respond. Right now, yeah. Is there enough dry powder to respond?
The Fed is not where it wants to be with respect to having enough monetary policy bullets in the holster, those bullets that they'll need to shoot, so to speak, when the time comes that the economy basically turns into a downturn or a recession. And, you know, there are differing views even on the Federal Reserve Board as to where that is for the benchmark federal funds rate. But, you know, sort of the consensus view right now is that they need to get interest rates up by about another 1% on the federal funds rate. So basically up to the 3% level, and remind people that we were basically down to 0 to 0.25% when we had taken them down, or they had taken them down to record low levels.
Well, you are a pro because you just segued into my final question, which is the common saying is bull markets don't die, central banks kill them. What relationship does the Fed and its activity with its interest rates have on other central banks? And I'm looking specifically at the EU.
Well, right now, the U.S. dollar is quite strong, and the unintended consequence of continuing to raise interest rates is that that essentially just put downward pressure on other economies and their currencies. But the Fed has to do what it has to do with respect to essentially running the engine on the U.S. economy. And so, you know, they're taking that into consideration.
Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Thank you so much for your insights and for your time.
Thank you, my friend. Always great to be with you. Thanks so much.
And that's it for this week's show. Please check us out online at several convenient locations near your browser. KGORadio.com/Techonomics, Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And we're sick with new podcasts as well as past editions on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Audio Boom, etc. And I'm on Twitter at KGOJason as well. For executive producer Lee Hammer, I'm the host and the writer Jason Middleton. Thanks again for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.